Hi, and welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Daily Indignities and Trying Dilemmas. Today, a What Would Rob Do bonus podcast, my extended interview with Rabbi Hanan Feld on how to act at a bris, the Jewish circumcision ceremony. Now, Rabbi Feld is a moyle, the person who performed the circumcision, and he's been practicing for over 20 years in the Berkeley area. And he's told me that although the procedure only lasts about a minute, there's a lot of things you want to look out for. So he gave me a little bit of background on the procedure and how things work.
The word bris actually means covenant or contract. And the actual term is bris milah. The word milah means circumcision. So it's called the covenant of circumcision. And the moyle's job is he's the ritual circumciser.
And how do you get into that? Is that kind of like an elective course at rabbinical school?
Not exactly, but in most cases you have to apprentice, individually train with an experienced moyle. Some people are early doctors and reform and conservative world.
I imagine, too, when you're first learning, it can be daunting. Was it very nerve-wracking the first time you were doing it? I mean, who wants to hire?
You're right. Number one, it's very difficult to get your first bris because, as you might imagine, there's not too many parents that would chase someone with very little experience. Nobody's supposed to tell a lie, especially as a moyle and as a rabbi. You have to be extremely careful, but the most common question a parent might ask is, how many have you done? Typically, you try to deflect it. You say, I've done a number of them, or, something like that. It's not something you do your first one and, I got this down. Everyone is pretty unique, and it's not just technically the actual circumcision, which can be, more difficult depending on the anatomy of the baby, but it's also the situations that you get involved in. The families you're working with, is it a big celebration bris? Is it a very private affair in somebody's house where it's very nervous parents and maybe one or two guests? Which one has its own challenges?
Have you always been happy with the outcome? And have you ever said, ooh, I could have done better on that one? Or is that kind of something you just keep to yourself?
Well, it really is an issue that you can't keep it to yourself because it's really the baby's health that you're dealing with. There are many situations that you feel you can do better in, but for the most part, if you're not relatively good at what you do, you're not going to last very long tomorrow. It's really based on reputation, so bad news travels fast.
Yeah, I imagine. Now, is there something you do ritually to maybe calm your nerves? Or, maybe after 20 years of doing it, you don't have any nerves, but is there a way that you steady yourself to get kind of into the role of the moyle?
There's an expression in Hebrew, yishuv hadat, which is being settled. And as a moyle, you can't rush anything. You want to go speedy and you want to go accurate, but you don't want to rush. And like I said, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of people. It's noisy. It's unruly. But you have to block out everything for the moment of the circumcision. As an example, the other day I had a bris where I didn't realize, but the family's cat was right under the table and jumped out literally the second I was doing the circumcision.
Oh, man.
Sometimes you have people blowing smoke, there's an uncle chomping a cigar next to you, or people spilling their drinks all over your instruments. All kinds of situations. But you just have to be able to maintain your focus.
Well, that's the one thing. It seems to be a pretty unique thing in the Jewish faith to have this intimate surgical procedure performed in front of friends and family, and people who are not accustomed to that may feel awkward.
The people who are leery of being there for the procedure, they don't stand right next to the table. If you have a crowded or hot room and people's imaginations are going wild, sometimes you can have a person faint.
Can you tell, grandma's about to go down, you better watch out? Can you spot a fainter?
Women don't faint. It's always men. I would say 99% of the time it's only men who faint. Women cry, but men faint.
Is there something you do to kind of break the tension, throw out a few zingers, or is that not appropriate? Or there's this obvious elephant in the room, like, wow, this is weird.
Where I live, there's a lot of people, it's their first time. So I try to explain things, try to inject a little bit of humor, not to take away from the holiness of the event.
Now, are there some jokes that go over better, or are there some jokes that really bomb? You're like, okay, that one really...
Oh, well, there's some that definitely go over better. And no, I don't tell joke. When you go to a bris, people tell you jokes anyway. I've heard all the jokes. You know, every one of us has been doing it more than a few years. I've heard every best joke there is. I mean, even the great-grandmother will tell you an off-color bris joke.
Now, here's something that happened to me at a bris. I walked in, and I was handed a video camera by the dad and given very few instructions, just video the thing. And I was really perplexed. I mean, what then do you video? Do you do a play-by-play? Are you doing close-ups?
For the most part, they just want to record the event. They don't want the details of the procedure. They want to sort of to pan the crowd, not the detail.
The other thing that I think people who are coming to a bris may find odd is that immediately afterwards, everyone sits down and eats. I mean, not something that you're having a potentially squeamish experience and then everyone eating. Is there food? I mean, I guess, you know, bagels and lox are a traditional thing, but is it tacky if you serve, like, baby wieners or something like that?
The actual meal, the seuda, is part of the mitzvah. So the idea is to have a meal with it. But in terms of the food you serve, tacky as you have...
Like a bacon.
Ham and cheese or something like that, you know.
Bacon-wrapped hot dogs, that would be tacky.
Exactly, which I've seen, trust me, I've seen everything. But,
Well, Rabbi Feld, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else about a bris that maybe people who aren't familiar with them should know about if they're perhaps going to one for the first time?
I would say... that one, it's not as bad as people are probably fearing. Even if it meant to actually seeing the circumcision, it's not as gory as people might worry. On the other hand, it's one of the more powerful experiences that will have in life, and it has very deep meaning, and it can really open up a person's mind.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Do you have any Brit Milah coming up this weekend?
I do, yeah.
All right, yeah. Well, good luck with that. I'm sure you don't need it, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
One other note Rabbi Feld mentioned to me is that if you're attending your first bris, be aware that unlike a Jewish wedding ceremony where you shout out Mazel Tov at the conclusion, at the end of the bris, you just want to keep it quiet, keep it cool. Pretty much any shouting is discouraged. Anyway, thanks very much for listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Trying Dilemmas and Daily Indignities. I'm Rob Sachs, and of course, if you have any questions or want to share any of your experiences, you can always head over to the What Would Rob Do Facebook fan page.